Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, yo, L, what time is it?
It's 7 o'clock. Why? What's up?
Hindsight time, that's what's up. Hindsight time. You already know.
Don't leave me. I'm trying to get my knowledge on, too.
That good old knowledge without a college, bro.
Don't be stingy with the knowledge.
You walking on slow? Let's get the hard stepping.
You know what time it is. Those who don't listen, special.
Real special. Real special. You know, I ain't old as I look, but I'm never too old to get that knowledge.
You are now listening to Hindsight Radio.
Today, about how to use your mind power to get what you want. I'm even going to tell you how to use your mind power to get green power. And I'm going to read some text from the Bible with reference to this message. Because I want you to know that when I speak about mind power, I am still in the book. And I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the scripture, if you will. I'm going to read first a passage from the book of Romans, the 12th chapter and the 2nd verse. And for emphasis, I'm going to ask you to repeat it back to me. I want you to repeat it back to me in the sound of thunder. All of the thousands of you here in Atlanta today at the Omni. Be you transformed. I'm going to read it again, and let me say at the very outset that I don't preach formal sermons. I'm going to give you something that you can begin to use right here, that you can begin to use as you go back out into life through these doors today. And so I want you to really repeat this passage of scripture after me as I read it this time. Be you transformed. Renewing of your mind. And now the next passage of scripture is from the Epistle to the Philippians, the 2nd chapter and the 5th verse. And I'll have you repeat this after me also. Let this mind be in you. Which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let me hear everybody shout, mind power. While you're standing, I want to give you these words of introduction. And I'll have you repeat them after me also. These are the words of Reverend Ike. Mind power is success power. Now listen, get with me here. You're going to help me preach this. I want you to move your hands as you say this. Move your hands as I move mine. You see, this impresses your subconscious mind. And when you impress your subconscious mind with ideas of success and prosperity, then out of your subconscious mind, out of the presence of God in you, out of your positive belief, success and prosperity will flow. So repeat this after me, and these are the words of Reverend Ike. Mind power is success power. Mind power is prosperity power. Mind power is the way to green power. Please be seated. I'm talking about how to use your mind power to get what you want now. And I want to talk about the idea now for a moment. Let me hear everybody say now.
Now.
Let's be even more emphatic by saying right now.
Now,
most of you know that I am not a pie in the sky preacher. All of you who want pie in the sky by and by when you die, you're in the wrong church this afternoon. Somebody say wow. I'm a now preacher. This is a now message which I bring to you. And why am I a now preacher? Because now is the only time there is. Yesterday is gone and tomorrow never comes. All of my days growing up in the church and Sunday school, we would sing about the sweet by and by. We would sing about by and by when the morning comes. And all the time I remember when lunch at school was 7 cents and I didn't have the 7 cents. And there I was singing about the sweet by and by. That's right. You know, people look at me now. And they get a lot of funny ideas because my church takes good care of me. As I officiate in my capacity as leader of this church, and I believe in looking good, feeling good, and smelling good. But let me tell you a little bit about the background. As I say, I remember when I would sing in Sunday school about the sweet by and by and didn't have 7 cents for lunch at school. Let me tell you, people, I got fed up with the sweet by and by, and I decided that I wanted some sweet now and now. All of you who are like that, why don't you raise your hand and shout, I want some sweet now and now. I feel like preaching. Can I preach for a few minutes? I feel you getting turned on to this now gospel. All of you who want some sweet now and now, in just a moment when I tell you to, I want you to stand and raise your hand and shout to the millions looking in on television, I want some sweet now and now. Come on, stand and shout. Come on, say it again. Now, the third time when we say this, I'm going to have the people who are looking in on television stand up and shout that with us. Because you see, when you affirm this, you open your heart, you open your experience to this sweetness of the now and now. And you at the bar, put your suds down for a moment. And my friends at the bar get a great big kick out of this. I walked into one of the outstanding banks in Los Angeles where we do business the other day, and the banker there told me, he said, Reverend Ike, you sure caught me the other night on your telecast. He said, that's exactly where I was. When you said, put down your suds at the bar. So, okay, you fellas around the brass rail there, I want you to stand up and shout this with us again as we declare, I want some sweet now and now, and I want you to draw it out. I want you to be definite and positive about it. Come on.
I want sweet
and now. You know, I believe you're ready. Are you ready? Shake just one more hand before you sit down and say, I'm ready for the sweet now and now. Ha-ha! Yeah! Can you say yeah?
Yeah!
Can you say yeah?
Yeah!
And another thing. Let me tell you black people something. I think I'm in position to tell you. You better stop going around here singing about I'll overcome someday. Why? Because when is someday? Have you ever heard of a day called someday? There is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But I never heard of a day called someday. It's time to overcome when? Right now.
This is Hindsight Radio.
I represent it.
The information station changing the nation.
Fight you, I fight myself, I fight God to tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorstep. Life a living hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bumps the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
Pray for me. Take my pain for me, take my soul for me, cause I'm alone to you. If I won't die for you, if I won't kill for you, then I feel this blood for you.
You're listening to your host, Akeem L. on Hindsight.
suffering is the truth. Nothing.
Uh-huh.
Guys, what's going on? You're listening to Truth Tuesday with your host, Akeem L. on Hindsight Radio, the information station changing the nation. What's going on, everybody? What y'all doing? Hope everybody's well. Thanks for tuning in on Tuesday night. We got a lot of things going on in the month of April. April the 14th. There's a seminar in Shreveport, Louisiana. If you go to my site, ikeemel.com, and you'll see all the details. Pulling up my site now. It's a little slow. Let's go to the events page. Go to the events page, and you'll see all the upcoming seminars. It's going to be at 100 Boardwalk Boulevard, Bossier City, Louisiana. And the donation to get into that is going to be $250 online and at the door. We only accept cash at the door. It's going to be April 14th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Shreveport, Louisiana. That's where we'll be. And I've confirmed North Carolina at the end of the month, last Saturday of the month. That's going to be April 28th. That's a Saturday. I haven't decided on the time yet. Once I put it up there, probably be around the same time, 10 to 4, 10 to 5, 10 a.m. to 4. Pretty much. That will be probably the same amount of donation. Not sure. Just got to look at the expenses. But the Hindsight Radio one is coming up on April the 14th. Me and Jonah is going to be there. We're going to talk about the whole correcting the birth certificate process, history, give you all the history of how we got into this mess and how we're going to get out of it. And we've been having some really good news over the last couple of weeks. A couple more people got their orders signed, and they are officially on paper, Moors. And the ones that did get through are ones who had did it exactly how we had taught it. you know, they did it exactly. No deviations. And this is out of California, a couple of people out of California. So they're looking good out there. All right. We just did the appeals webinar on Saturday. That recording is ready. I'm not sure, did I put it up there yet? The recording is ready. I don't know if I got it in on my website to sell. It's a good webinar showing you how to do the appeals process. My son hosted that one. I co-hosted it a little, but he did all of the teaching. Did a great job. If y'all want that, that'll be on my website, akimel.com, or it'll be on his website. I have to get his website to give it out. Yeah. What's the topic for today? What is it? Man, there's so many topics going in on this nationality thing. We're digging in, getting more information. But unfortunately, some of the stuff we just can't put out there. It's just too good of the information to put out there and let people mess it up. Yes, we will reveal it, but only at seminars we reveal it now. But man, we're putting together templates, all kind of stuff to use. But you know, unfortunately, we're going to show y'all where to get the information from, but we're not doing templates on nationality. We're not giving people any more processes on that. Like, you know, we're not adding to it. It's working the way it is, but there is stuff that we have in our arsenal that if we need it, we'll use it. It's going to be on an as-needs basis from here on out. Too many people have taken advantage and abused that process of us just giving y'all the stuff that y'all can use and messing it up for everybody. So, but best believe we got some good information that we've been working on and still working on. What I want to do today is I'm going to read, if I could find my page that I was on. Let me see if this is the right note. That's not the right one. I was going to read y'all. Let me help y'all understand, because sometimes they're tricking y'all with words. Not sometimes, they're all the time doing it. And you have to look at these things very carefully to see where the trick is. Here it is. And whenever you read anything, you want to look at definitions. What are they talking about when they're when you're reading these codes? What are they actually saying? Right? I'm going to put this in the chat. Always read the definitions. And this is 8 U.S.C. Section 1101 definition. This all has to do with the naturalization process. Give me a second here. And when I was reading this, and I found some of these definitions interesting. And you also got to pay attention to how it's spelled, too. Not going to go through all the definitions, just going to go through the ones that I think is very important, which I know is very important, right? Let's start with number 7. The term clerk of court means a clerk of a naturalization court. So when they're talking about this, and they're talking about the clerk of court, that's a clerk of naturalization court, right? But truth be told, every clerk of court is a naturalization court. Reason why, you submit all your paperwork to them and they have to determine if you're even in their jurisdiction. Are you a U.S. citizen? So they look at your paperwork. Sometimes they even ask you for ID sometimes. Most of the time they don't. When you, as long as you have a case number, they file it. But they already assume you're a U.S. citizen, so they don't even check for that too much anymore. But if you bring it up, best believe they're going to start pulling previous applications to prove that you're a U.S. citizen. Applications like when you apply for a driver's license or a passport, even job applications. You know, what did you put down on there? What did you put on that W-4 form? Right? You got to be careful what you're writing on papers now, what you're saying. You're calling yourself a moor. You can't go out there filling out paperwork using terms that connect you to the U.S. citizen. All right? Now, let's go to number 14. The term foreign state includes outlying possessions of a foreign state, but self-governing dominions or territories under mandate or trusteeship shall be regarded as separate foreign states. What do they mean by that? What is a foreign? See, they didn't even break it down. What is a foreign state? Very vague meaning, and it's using legalese. Basically, a foreign state is anything that is not under the jurisdiction of the United States. And you notice at the end it said, territories under mandate or trusteeship shall be regarded as separate foreign states. Right? What does that mean, trusteeship? Y'all know that the Enligus, when it's created, it isn't a foreign state until you what? Connect it with a social security number, annex it over. Then it becomes domestic. No longer is foreign. That's why it's, they're always wanting you to fill out a birth certificate and get a social security number at the time of birth. You know? All right. Let's go down to keep going, let me find it. There's a lot of definitions here. All right, we're going down to the term nation, number 21. Means a person owns permanent allegiance to a state. Now, if you look at the word state, number 21, it's in lowercase. So whenever you see that state in lowercase, that means status or one of the 48 states, one of the regular states. Not the corporate state, but just the state in its sovereign capacity, like North Carolina state, South Carolina state, not state of, right? Then if you go to 22, the term national of the United States means a citizen of the United States, or be a person who, though not a citizen of state, owes permanent allegiance to the United States. So they're saying that if you call yourself a national of the United States, that you're a citizen of the United States or a person who owes permanent allegiance to the United States. Who owes permanent allegiance to the United States? Who is that? You already know. The 14th Amendment citizen, the social, the Enligus. It was created by them for their use. You don't owe permanent allegiance to them. That's an entity. You just have to take it out of their jurisdiction by going into a foreign state capacity, becoming a moor, and removing yourself from that, and then claim ownership of that piece of property. Right? Now, and how do they get people to do allegiance? Why? Because you sign a lot of contracts. By saying you're a U.S. citizen or picking one of their terms, black, African-American. If you're calling yourself those, you're owing permanent allegiance because those titles belong to them. They also get your children to do it. They pledge allegiance to the flag every morning. How can a kid, you can shut down the that whole pledging allegiance to a flag in school immediately, because a kid cannot, allegiance is like a contract. A kid under 18 can't make any contracts. They have legal disability. You see? But we allow our kids to do that over and over again. All right. All right, let's go to number 23. This is the last one I'm going to read. The term naturalization means conferring of nationality of a state. See? Did you notice? State is lowercase again. When they referred to the United States, state was had an uppercase S. Conferring of a nationality of a state upon a person after birth by any means whatsoever. So that means that they will give you a nationality by any means whatsoever. It will change your state. See, again, the term nationality means the conferring of a nationality of a state upon a person after birth by any means whatsoever. And that's exactly what they're doing, by any means. Now, you know what? I'm sorry. I do have to keep going on, because now you have the term state. Very interesting. It's not lowercase. It's a capital S-T-A-T-E. The term, that's number 36, the term state includes the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Guam, the Virgin Islands of the United States, and the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. So what is it saying there? It's saying it includes only the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Guam, Virgin Islands of the United States, and the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. It didn't say, though, the state you live in is part of that. Right there in their own definition. Then, here they go again. It was tricky. Go to 38. The term United States, except as otherwise specifically herein provided, when used in a geographical sense, means the continental United States, right? They're not being tricky again. They say United States, Alaska. So, Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, Guam, the Virgin Islands of the United States, and the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. All they did was they gave Alaska and Hawaii, they added those two in there. Right? But United States, if you go back, it's not the regular states. How come they didn't say the 48 lower states, Alaska, Hawaii, Puerto Rico, Guam? They saying continental United States. They're using trickery again. In some different definitions, they'll say it means the several states. Several states is a few states. That ain't a lot. Give me a second. So, give me a second here. I'm looking at something. All right, that's it. You know what else? They even got terms in here about world communism, totalitarianism. Why are they talking about that in the immigration rules? And even in, you know what, another point I wanted to make, but I almost didn't make it. Let's look at the term refugee. Where is it? Refugee. I think it was in this one I was reading that definition. One second. Got to go back. I think I skipped over refugee. No, I didn't. Oh, there it is. Number 42. Let's read that because I think this applies to every person of color in this country. Every Aboriginal more in this country. Right here. The term refugee means a person who is outside any country of such person's nationality. Or in the case of a person having no nationality, is outside any country in which such person last habitually resided and who is unable or willing to return to and is unable or willing to avail himself or herself of the protection of that country because of persecution or well-founded fear of persecution on account of race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group or political opinion, or in such special circumstances, as the president, after appropriate consultation, may specify any person who is within the country of such person's nationality, or in the case of a person having no nationality within the country in which such person is habitually residing, who is persecuted or who has well-founded fear of persecution on account of race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group or political opinion. The term referee refugee does not include any person who ordered, incited, assisted, or otherwise participated in the persecution of any person on account of race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group, or political opinion. For purposes of determinations under this chapter, a person who has been forced to abort a pregnancy or to undergo involuntary sterilization, who has been persecuted for failure or refuses to undergo such procedure, or for other resistance to a coercive population control program, shall be deemed to have been persecuted on account of political opinion, and a person who has well-founded fear that he will be forced to undergo such procedure or subject to persecution for such failure. Refusal or resistance shall be deemed to have well-founded fear of persecution on account of political opinion. So when you read that definition, they have done this in the country to us over and over again for many, many years. And we are, in a sense, refugees. If you are an Aboriginal Moor or more Aboriginal, and they have deliberately concealed the fact that you are from this land and took your nationality from you, not only did they, that's genocide, and they also made you a refugee on account of what? Who you are, your nationality, and your race. And you also say religious opinion. So these are all tools that you guys can put together to get remedy. There's remedy in these definitions. Because we see it every day. We are persecuted. We have the highest rate of police stops, highest rate of incarcerations, highest rate of where they are have tried to sterilize. I mean, there's evidence of sterilization, eugenics all over this country, and they're still doing it under different policies. So I suggest you guys read all of these rules, read all of these definitions, and start putting some paperwork together to get remedy. There's remedy on every level with these things. 7:40. Let me go see. Let's get to the phone lines. That's all I had for tonight. It's just wanted to read y'all the definition, kind of point you guys in the direction of doing some studying and putting some paperwork together for yourself to get remedy. Y'all going to have to stop relying on us all the time for remedy. We do have a lot of good remedy, but as the, you know, things get are getting closer and closer to us getting delivered from this system, we have to really go underground with a lot of information. Not that we don't want to give it out, it's just that we got to protect it. When the time is right, we'll let it go. But trust me, we have put together a campaign. They will never be able to answer any of our paperwork. They can't. And if they do, they'll incriminate themselves. But what does the Constitution say? They can't be compelled to incriminate themselves. So what they're going to have to do is acquiesce, and we'll win. All right, let's go to the first call out there, 414-331.
Hey, Hakeem, how you doing? It's Marco.
Marco, what's going on? Peace to God.
Peace, man. Yeah, I just seen those definitions, and definitely can use that in paperwork. That's some good stuff there, too. I remember you guys talking about that before. I don't know if I should contact you on this stuff that I have questions on. It has to do with the IRS. I don't know if I should do it in the private. But I got a response. I defaulted them. But I got some paperwork back from them. And I don't know if it's okay to talk. They're saying that I defaulted them. I did the full satisfaction on them, defaulted them on that. And I sent up the third party, defaulted them on that. And they sent me paperwork saying that my arguments were frivolous and have no basis in law.
They always do that. That's not nothing new. And you watched the video. I did. I don't know if you got the IRS webinar.
Yep.
I talked about that very letter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got that. I got that video.
So if it's something you don't agree with, what are you supposed to do?
No contract.
Right.
No contract. You send them a third party again.
You send everything back to them. No contract. Because if you don't answer that frivolous argument, they're going to try to hit you with a $5,000 fee.
Yep, that's
what
it said on
there. You
got to
put no contract on there. Yeah, that's nothing new. Just put no contract on it and send it back to them. Remind them. Then all they're going to do is, we need some time to answer you. You won't never see that letter again.
That's what I was thinking, too. But I just wanted to.
That's a robo letter. That's a robo letter they sent.
That's what I thought.
Just scared.
Had like a person had a person's name at the end of it, like they wrote it, but in actuality, it's just a robo. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool.
Listen,
cool,
did you know that the IRS, those people, when they put their name on the paper, those are aliases.
Oh yeah.
Those are not real names. No, that's not real people. They use aliases. In their manual, their training manual, give people aliases to correspond to protect their identity. Imagine the people who those people were for real.
That'd be some bad stuff happening. What do you call it, though? I wanted to talk to you in the private, too, about the one guy you spoke to in Illinois. At the Chicago conference, that 6209 thing, I wanted to talk to you on that, see what was up with that.
Well, you have to talk to him because I still haven't read everything that he sent me.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I have to read it.
Yeah, I was looking it up.
Read it.
Okay, cool, cool.
It's all in the IRS manual.
Yeah, I remember seeing that a long time ago. I remember that. I had a copy of that manual, and there's some stuff in there about gifting and stuff like that. But,
right. Well, anything those W-4 forms, all you're doing is making a gift to the IRS.
Yep. Yeah, you're right. And,
and you put yourself where you, they can enforce that against you.
Yeah, there's That's, you're right about that, because you're contracting with them.
Yeah.
That's an unfortunate thing. I got some good news as far as the contracting thing, as far as me goes. They want me to do a proposal, and then I submit that in, and then I'm on my way to being the contractor. And
okay.
I got to give them the EIN, so that's all I got to do. But, man, it's like one step being towards a private. And then I just got one more thing on this non-UCC I just got to do, and then I'm going to study some more about the nationality and try to be on my way, man. Thanks to you. You and
okay.
Jonah and Joey.
All right. Good.
Thank you,
good.
Brother.
All right. Peace.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Peace.
All right. Take
peace.
Care. All right. Peace to the God. Let's keep it moving. Let's go to 734-686. Yes.
Peace to the gods. What's happening?
Peace to the God. What's up?
Not much. Just listening to the show tonight. There's a question I wanted to ask with my CPN and registering it. Now, I went on the IRS website.
All right,
and
hold on,
it,
brother. We don't. That's gonna be a. You're gonna need to get a private consultation on that question.
Okay. All right. All right. No problem.
Yeah.
That's all I got. Thanks.
All right. Peace. In registering the CPN, that's on both webinars. If you bought my package, you actually get that P3 PDF on how to do it properly. And on the second one, I go over that, showing you how to do it by not connecting associate to it. So get those two webinars, and you'll be good. You'll understand. All right, 757965.
Peace to the gods.
What's up?
Peace to the God, Akeem, man. Same old. Just working, studying.
All right.
Trying to get out the system, all right. Man.
All right.
I was the guy that set my injunction in the Jonah last week.
Okay.
He didn't send me a yay or nay yet, so I'm just hoping to get my consultation in here and let me know if I'm ready. But I just got a question about that. So,
okay,
brother,
what's
I
your question?
Let me slow down. Okay, once I file the injunction and I am quasi-private, what else do I need to travel in my vehicle, like besides the ID? Without any problems. Do I need to put the
card
in trust?
IDP and your private ID. You don't need anything else. IDP and private ID.
That's it?
Yeah. That's it. And make sure that car is not registered in your name. In your Enriquez name.
Yes, it is registered in my Enriquez name.
Yeah, then what's going to happen? Because he's going to know who the owner of the car is just by the plates. So, if you give him an IDP, if you get pulled over, you give him an IDP and a private ID with your private name on it, not going to mean anything because the car is registered in your Enriquez name. So, IDP only works if you're driving a car that's not registered in the Enriquez name. You can't have nothing connected to that Enriquez.
Okay.
So, you need to get that car out of your name, put it in the trust, and ride like that. But if you got that car in your injunction, you should be fine.
I do have it in injunction, but I'm, let me think.
You haven't put your injunction out?
Yes, there you go. That's exactly what, it slipped my mind so fast. I haven't sent it out yet, bro, so next
week.
So
it ain't doing nothing for you until you send it out, so.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, if you have that car in there, as soon as they pull it up, they'll know that car is in the injunction, and most likely you will not be pulled over.
Okay. I've been looking at
They'll follow you around a lot. They'll follow you around, but it won't.
Okay. And I'll make sure I have the ID and the IDP along with the injunction.
Yeah, just you're going to need that to show them something. But if you don't have that, last thing you want to do is give them a legal ID. That's going to say you got a contract with them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on your website looking at the prices also.
Mm-hmm.
I got a child support. I'm in child support already. I've been up here for about 4 years. I make my payments. But now I'm paying back pay. My child isn't even receiving the money. And so now I'm like...
They don't never receive the money for the most part.
Yes, sir. Okay. So, I just went to court. I ain't bringing none of this up in court. I told Joan I wanted to fight it and get it out of the way, like you said. Then come back and go private. Man, they gave me 2 years suspended with the... according to pay, if I pay. So, I'm trying to get that out of the way so I won't have that over my head.
You need
head.
To get that injunction completed,
yes, sir.
Brother.
I've been looking at it. Man, I'm going to get it as soon as I can.
And you know you can do the GSA bonds on that child support.
That was some more questions. So, what should I actually do, Akeem? I want to make sure I do the right thing to get it out of the way.
I would do the injunction first, get that out of the way. And then when you do the injunction, work on doing them GSA bonds.
Yes, sir. All right.
Shut that child support down. You could also use the child support template, that means going to court and fighting it in court. But,
Yes, sir.
You could do both things at the same time until the GSAs kick in. But you need to get that injunction out because they're going to... Follow the contract that you just took.
Yes, sir.
They're gonna lock you up. I mean, the reason why you need to adjust your injunction and add in the clause for not being locked up for a debt.
I have. Wow. I do have that in there. Yes, sir. I do. And that is spontaneously. It doesn't say. It's not ex post facto, but it's the obligation of contracts, an excessive bill, an excessive fine.
No. There's another clause in there that said no one should be locked up for a debt in there. That's another section of the Constitution. It's always usually it's under the Bill of Rights.
Okay.
You need to get that in there.
I believe I do got it in there.
If you got it in, that's good. I'm just saying that's very important that you have that in that injunction.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it, Brother Akeem.
All
right. I'm looking right now, but I don't think I'm going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll trust these.
All right, brother. I got to keep it moving.
No questions. Peace to the gods. Shout out the whole Eyesight team. You know, y'all brothers, keep it up, man. I'm gonna make sure I let you know when I'm ready for you, bro. I'm gonna get them injunctions and things.
Okay. All right. No problem.
Peace to the gods.
All right. Peace to God. All right. There are questions. Get your hands up. Because I might be getting off early tonight. So if you got a question, put your hands up so I can get as many as before I get off. But I'm going to be right back. I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to come right back.
Matthew and I were discussing some of the things about why you discounted on a subconscious level some of the things that have happened, because absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. And he said something very profound for an Australian. This is heavy duty shit. But he said, I decided to do it, even though it was stupid, I decided to do it. Stupid meaning the, follow the process to a, an intellectually bright guy who's an engineer. And see, you won't. You'll figure out a better way. And he followed the stupid process that works and has been working for 45 years, 20-some years before when I was doing it, and 22 years since I've been coaching. And he called it. He wasn't trying to be insulting or anything. He says, I just decided to follow this, you know. How did you say it?
Instead of trying to be smart, I would just try to be stupid, shut that part off of my brain, and just do it.
And what happens? He did it. And that's why it's hard for the YouTubers and all the other, because you can't dumb down. You will not believe that it's easy. You won't. But he put it very succinctly. He just dumbed down and shut off that part of his brain and just followed the steps. You don't need fucking case studies. You have a fucking template. You have a motherfucking script that a fucking monkey can read. That Alex wants a fucking case study because he wants to know the shit behind it because he's stupid. And that's why he's fucking poor. You don't need any motherfucking case studies. How many fucking times do I have to say? You have the fucking script. I said, don't change a fucking word on the script. Not a comma. If it's got misspelled fucking words, send it out misspelled. The last thing you fucking need is a fucking case study. This is why you're fucking poor. This is why the cocksuckers watching this on YouTube are so fucking poor.
Peace to the God. You're listening to Hindsight Radio.
Carolina, paper chase, different names, same face, don't catch a case. My road dogs on paroles, baby girls, 4 years old, we play the block. Pistol cops, you can shoot or get shot. Kill you for your crack spot, take everything your ass got. Semi-automatic spray, bust back, I run away. Niggas talking in the hood, we're handless another day. In November, you make my shit, this you dead, you can cancel Christmas. I send you a gift, niggas to come and leave your ass twisted. Them hollow tip shells burn, baby burn. It's a nigga get murked, the baby's bomb, and the world turns. I seen it all crystal clear, so I keep my pistol near. Hearts never full of fear, homie, I stay well aware of what's going on around me. Motherfuckers want me dead. I go with a smile on my face, put it my dime kid. Y'all should thank him. Thank, but if you think otherwise, bring your boy over here so I can spank him. I put an end to your career, bitch. Before you speak on 50, buy 40 in a spare clip. These niggas gassed up, getting too used to rap. Like I won't give him more blood clot than super cat. Niggas a snatcher, I'm like a bat catcher. I give a sign and then toast up match you. Round here, niggas die off hydro. And even when it ain't
4th of July, it sound like pyro. We smart enough to creep and lay your dumb brains down. The pound will spin you around like the young James Brown. Yeah, I know I'm hot, but hey, I'm icy too. Rocks to hit you from a block away like a beat from Dr. Dre. We're taking over this year. The K's and the soldiers is here. Everyone knows that you're scared. Yeah. Another bottle and smoke up a half a gram. I would hop in my Impala and ride all through the night. They gave my homeboy life, so when you do it right. My fingernails still filled with cocaine residue. I still got the heart to go and bust me a head or two. No other solution. You think we hollering and hooting until you wake up, and then you got to hear about these shootings. I take a pull from a loose one and put the clip in my pocket. Before I take another bullet, I'm gonna pull it and pop it. And if it's beef, my nigga, then let your guns do your talking. The graveyard has got plenty room for a coffin. They say that we responsible for boosting the crime rate. Okay. They say that we the reason why these young niggas buying weight. Okay. But I'm gonna keep this Glock on my way to my dying day. It's nothing but a G-thing, G-Unit and Dr. Dre.
Hakeem L on Hindsight Radio.
All right, peace to the gods, I'm back. Man, while I was on a break, I was reading this earlier today. I put it in the chat. I definitely got to talk about this. This is just crazy what the DEA is doing around the country. The people just taking their money, not even charging them with a crime. It's, you know, that's robbery. You know, they take your money and you got to challenge them. And what they're doing is they playing the odds. You know, they know most people won't challenge that. But here it is. I put it in the chat for y'all to read. It says, since 2007, the DA has taken $3.2 billion in cash from people not charged with a crime. I'm telling you, y'all, we got so many lawsuits against these people by using the Constitution. Really, we do. Here it is. The Drug Enforcement Administration takes billions of dollars in cash from people who are never charged with criminal activity, according to a report issued today by the Justice Department's Inspector General. Since 2007, a report found the DA has seized more than $4 billion in cash from people suspected of involvement with the drug trade. But 81% of those seizures totaling $3.2 billion were conducted administratively, meaning no civil or criminal charges were brought against the owners of the cash and no judicial review of the seizures ever occurred. That total does not include the dollar value of other seized assets like cars, homes, electronics, and clothing. These seizures are all legal under the controversial practice of civil asset forfeiture, which allows authorities to take cash, contraband, and property from people suspected of crime. But the practice does not require the authorities to obtain a criminal conviction, and it allows departments to keep seized cash property for themselves unless individuals successfully challenge the forfeiture in court. So you got to go and sue them to get your money back. Critics across the political spectrum say this creates a perverse profit motive, incentivizing police to seize goods not for the purpose of fighting crime, but for padding department budgets. He's right. Now, we know we can beat this with the Constitution. There's so much remedy in the Constitution can beat this hands down. And you can sue them at the same time. Because if I had to deal with this, I would use the Constitution to shut it down. Then I would go into court because they stole from me. You're supposed to have a warrant before you take any property from people. This is one of those laws that goes clearly against the Constitution. See, they're taking it and that's not charging you, so how do you fight it in court? How do you, they probably have some quasi procedure you gotta go in and prove where you got the money from. I ain't gotta prove nothing because I have a right to privacy. If I should put that Constitution in there, then think about what I just read to y'all in those definitions of refugee. Because you know most of the people they're taking money from is who? People of color. Man, I have all of that stuff in there. I have the daggone genocide in there, everything in there. And remember, they can only do this to U.S. citizens, 14th Amendment. All right, law enforcement groups say the practice is valuable too for fighting criminal organizations, allowing them to seize drug profits and other ill-gotten goods, but the Inspector General's report raises serious concerns that maybe real purpose here is not to fight crime, but to seize and forfeit property, says Dapana Sheff, senior attorney of the Institute for Justice, a civil liberties law firm that has fought for forfeiture reform. The Inspector General found that the Department of Justice does not collect or evaluate data necessary to know whether seizures or forfeitures are effective or the extent to which seizures present potential risk to civil liberties. In the absence of this information, the report examined 100 DEA cash seizures that occurred without a court-issued warrant and without presence of narcotics, the latter of which would provide strong evidence of related criminal behavior. Fewer than half of those seizures were related to new or ongoing criminal investigations or led to an arrest or prosecution. The Inspector General found the seizures and administrative forfeitures do not ultimately advance an investigation or prosecution. The report concludes law enforcement creates the appearance and risk the reality that it is more interested in seizing and forfeiting cash than advancing an investigation or prosecution. The scope of asset forfeiture is staggering. Since 2007, the Department of Justice Asset Forfeiture Fund, which collects proceeds from seized cash and other property, has ballooned to $28 billion. In 2014 alone, authorities seized $5 billion in cash and property from people greater than the value of all document losses to burglary that year. And most of the seizures examined by Inspector General, DEA officers initiated encounters and with people based on whether they met certain criteria like traveling to and from a known source city, a drug trafficking, purchasing a ticket within 24 hours of travel, purchasing a ticket for a long flight with an intermediate return, purchasing one-way ticket and traveling without checked luggage. It's all bullshit reasons to stop people. Some of the encounters was based on tips from confidential sources working in the travel industry, a number of whom have received large sums of money in exchange for their cooperation. In one case, officers targeted an individual for questioning on a tip from a travel industry informant that the individual had paid for a plane ticket with prepaid debit card and cash. What? Most individuals who have cash and property seized by law enforcement do not dispute the seizure. There's no right to an attorney in forfeiture proceedings, meaning defendants must foot the bill for a lawyer themselves. In many cases, forfeiture amounts are so small that they're not worth fighting in court. Forfeiture cases are also legally complex and difficult for individuals to win. Forfeiture cases are brought against the property rather than the individual, leading to cascade cases titles like the United States versus $8,850 in U.S. currency and United States of America versus one man's Rolex Pearl. This is such bullshit. While criminally proceeded to assume the defendant's innocence, forfeiture proceeded to start from the presumption of guilt. That means that individuals who fight forfeiture must prove they're innocent in court. For this reason, many defendants don't bother disputing forfeitures. The Inspector General's report, however, finds that those who do often get at least a portion of their cash return, only one-fifth of people who've had their cash seized by the DA disputed the seizure in court. But among those who contested the seizure, nearly 40% ended up getting all or some of their cash returned, suggesting that the DA's forfeiture net ensnares many individuals not involved in wrongdoing. In a written response to the Inspector General, the Department of Justice said it had significant concern, with the report noting that global criminal enterprises launder trillions of dollars annually in calling asset forfeiture a critical tool to fight the current heroin opioid epidemic that is raging in the United States. Man, that's bull. They don't want that to stop. They would be out of a job. It also took issue with the Inspector General's analysis of the 100 DEA cash seizures. It examined, saying more of them were connected with criminal activity than the report suggested. The Inspector General stood by the report and dismissed the department's concerns as assumptions and speculation. The Drug Enforcement Administration did not respond to a request for comment. Nobody in America should lose their property without being convicted of a crime, said the Institute for Justice chief. If our goal is to curb crime, we should simply abolish civil forfeiture and only forfeit property after criminal conviction is obtained, she added. That's true. Right. How are you just going to take something and nobody's being charged with something? Just take the money. Cause, see, that means we need to send an injunction to the head of the DEA. DEA, FBI, whoever. Let these motherfuckers know. Don't fuck with my shit. Unless you got a warrant. That's further reasons why you need to correct that birth certificate. Because that is just such a bogus rule and law. It's stealing. Because how are you going to take somebody's property and charge the property and not the person? And you know what all these racist cops out there, they're abusing that. You know they're abusing that. Yeah. All right, let's go back to the phone line, see what's up. Somebody asking the show is still in play. Yeah, it's still in play. Unless y'all couldn't hear me. All right, let's go to where was I? I was at 917-796. Peace to God. Hello? Hello, hello? All right. Not there. 619-946.
Hey, my king.
Yeah, what's up? Hello? Man? What's going on?
Oh, just got in. Training basketball with the young guy. What's up, G?
Okay, that's good. All right, what's going on?
Ain't nothing much. Peace to hindsight, first off. You know, I want to give you all the respect.
All right,
the nation. I appreciate y'all 100, man, for real.
All right.
Second thing, I'm dealing with third-party debt collector, right? I want to ask you a question, Akeem. I did all the three letters. I typed up, got my lawsuit from Joey Bounce. Did my complaint, right? Mm. So now I'm going to file the complaint in federal court because all the laws compare to feds. You know what I mean? So I have to do it in the feds. It's $100 between the state and the feds, but it's a lot of fed laws in there, right, that they violate. So, okay.
Usually the state has the same laws as the fed when it comes to fed debt collection practice. You just got to find those laws.
True. I hear what you're saying. Well, I already did it. according to FDCPA, so I'm going to go into the feds with it, right?
Okay.
And do the suit. Now, when I go in the feds, when I actually pay for the complaint, you know, I pay for the complaint, when I go to serve the other party, do I have to get copies from the court and then serve the other party, or does the court issue out the copies to the other party?
No, you got to serve them. You got to. They're going to give you the go-ahead to serve them. They're going to tell you when you got to serve them. They're going to look at your complaint first, and then they tell you. If you went and filed it, they should have told you that when you went and told you the next move. They tell you.
No, I didn't file it.
So you didn't file it. Yeah, when you file it, they're going to give you instructions. When you file it, they're going to give you instructions what to do next.
Okay. I just wanted to know what party. Now, how would I find a registered agent for the company? I'm trying to find this company, a registered agent, and I can't find it. What would be the best way to find it in the state? Because they're out of Texas, but I can't find it in my state. But
you
I got
can't,
the debt.
You're not going to get it. You got to. Godly, boy. You testing me.
What's up?
If the company is registered in Texas, that means they're registered agent. You got to look for the go to the Secretary of State of Texas and look up their registered agent. You got to look it up there.
I'm going to tell you that I tried that. I'm going to try it again, but I wasn't getting
it. Know why you didn't get it? I'm going to tell you why you didn't get it, because you got to pay them to get into their file in Texas.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, then I'll pay them. I don't mind.
You got to get an account with the.
Hello?
Sorry about that. You have to get you an account with the Secretary of State in Texas to look up any business and to get any information on a company. You have to register with the Secretary of State in Texas, and they charge you for that.
Now, once I get that in the registered agent in Texas, if I'm in a different state, would I serve them from Texas to Texas?
You
got to
serve their registered agent, meaning you're going to have to hire someone. If the registered agent is in Texas, you're going to have to hire a company that does serve papers in Texas. You're going to have to pay them. It'll cost you about $100, $150 to do that.
That's nothing. Why I was asking that, because I thought that each company had to be registered in the state that they're doing business.
No, well, they're supposed to, but most companies don't.
Okay.
And
that's
that should be in your lawsuit. That they're not registered in your state to do
you're
business.
You're damn right they're not. They're totally not.
You should write that in your complaint. Yeah.
Heard.
It's supposed to, but most companies don't register.
The last thing I came. Now, in my complaint, right, do I just, like, say I'm going to the judge, do I actually put in the amount of money I want in the complaint, or do I use the laws to say they violated this law and leave it to the judge to do the monetary?
You can say what you want. And now, if you did the third-party debt collector letter, there's an amount there that you said they would have to pay you if they violated that letter. So you can sue them for that amount.
So would I express that amount in full, or would I leave it to the law to interpretate the amount?
I would express the amount in full, because that's what you said in your paperwork.
Heard. All right, for sure.
Why would you do anything else? You got to make it clear what you're looking for, what you're suing them for.
True. I was just reading over different cases. I got like 5 cases on that same company I'm adding to my case. They've been sued in my state 5 times already. So,
why don't you go get those cases and look at how they got sued and who won and what? But you know, I would study those cases.
And I have to go buy the rest of them, because the one
and
that
I
got.
I will put that in my complaint, that this company has violated these same laws in the past and been sued and have lost. If they lost, I would put that in the paperwork.
Yep, I totally did. I cited 2 cases already that was in my state that they lost on. It wasn't the same kind of thing they did. They did a telephone collection practices violation, but it's still a violation of debt collection violation still. You know what I mean? So I guess it will relate to my case in stating how their actions is. You know what I mean? But all right, I just wanted to get some clarity. When I get this money, I'll holler at y'all and let y'all know.
The way you want real clarity, why don't you read the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure? Read those rules.
I have.
You need to read the rules on how you're supposed to serve people, too.
I was reading, because they sent me a packet. The Fed sent me a packet when I did my first, I did a case before, and they dismissed it with without prejudice because I was trying to use the Constitution to pay for the case, and that shit really didn't work too good for me, you know what I mean? So they dismissed it, you know what I mean? And I got the opportunity to come back, but I have put in all my complaint. I did everything up to not paying. So everything was good. They signed up, gave me a case number and everything, but they kind of dismissed me because I didn't pay. So they gave me a packet on all the, you know, the federal rules and what you need to do your case by yourself.
They're going to give you all the rules. They're going to give you their local rules, all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. They did give me that. You're right on. All right. Now, federal, does it have to be a certain amount to sue for? Can I sue for $10,000 or does it have to be over a certain amount?
No. Because you're using federal statutes.
Got you. All right. End the story. That's it, Akeem. I love y'all, man. Appreciate y'all. All right.
Peace.
All right. Peace.
All right. What's going on? Let's go to 619-946.
You just got to me, Akeem.
Oh, my bad. I picked the wrong one. 510-424.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Peace. I got on kind of in the middle of the show, but, I mean, everything's been good. I just, I kind of had a question on, not directly what you were talking about, but on the CPN.
So, depending on what that question is, I may not answer it. You might have to get a consultation with me in private. What's the question?
It was about the updated information. Is that the one on your website? That's how to know that?
All the updated information on CPN is in the court. The last one I did on a private banker.
Okay. And does that also talk about like the IDs and stuff?
Not really. Why would I talk about IDs? I tell you what you need to do to go in the bank or whatever, but. IDs, if you want IDs, you talk to Jonah Bay about that, private ID, jonahbay@gmail.com.
Okay. And what about you guys next? Are you guys doing have any seminars coming up on the West Coast?
Not yet, no.
Oh, okay.
Not yet. Not solid, no.
Oh, okay. And didn't you guys do a
we're going to Louisiana, which is what is that? We're gonna be in Louisiana. On April 14th. It's probably as close as West we're gonna be for now.
Yeah. And did you guys recently do a non-UCC webinar?
Yeah. That's on my website as well, akeemell.com. Non-UCC webinar. The new one.
Okay. I'll show you how to get it in. Okay.
All right, brother. Anything else?
Yeah. How long, like, when you purchase it online?
Everyone has a different, usually within 72 hours, you get all of your orders.
Okay. If I have any questions, does it send like a number that I could like text you at to ask you about the order or no?
If you want details on the order, that means a consultation. So you would have to get a consultation with me. What I suggest is you get a consultation first before you make any purchases. That's what I suggest. This way you'll know exactly what you're buying, what you're getting, and what you need it for. You know, you can go into more in depth. You got to tell me your needs, and I'll tell you what you need to get for that. But
okay.
I suggest a consultation with you if you want that type of Yeah. Okay. But you know, you're not going to just be texting me, oh, what about this? What are asking me all these questions that most of the time is answered in the webinar. I don't answer questions by text, because the reason why, you answer one, it'll be 20 more questions after that.
Okay.
So it's better to do a consultation. Or if you get the video and you got a question, get on the air for free and I'll answer your question on for free, depending on what the question. But when it comes to CPN and how to operate with a CPN, I don't talk about that on the air, because they will plug those holes up. So.
Okay.
All right, peace. All right. All right, let's go to 813-720. Peace to the God.
Peace to the God, all right, brother.
All right, what's going on?
Oh, peace to the God.
Peace to the God.
Peace to the God. What's up, man? I hear you now.
Oh, can you hear me? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I hear
you. All right, not much. What's going on with you? What's your question?
Yeah, I had a question about the the common law copyright. Do we file that in the state, or do we file that with the in the county where we
go to copyrightdeposit.com. It's cost $19.99, and you do the copyright there, and take the copies of that and add that to your non UCC. When you do that, that's all you got to do.
All right, peace to God. That's all I need, brother.
All right, peace to God. Alright, 301-375. Peace.
Peace. What's going on, IK?
What's going on? How you doing?
Yeah, just wanted to remind you that I sent you an email on the Internet Commerce. I don't know if you got it or not. I just wanted to check to see it.
I remember you said you would send me an email, but I don't remember getting an email.
Really? Okay. Hindsight1027@gmail.
What's your email address?
Okay, it's GF. I'm sorry. GFF family. I'm sorry. GF family.
GF family. Hang on.
All right.
Let's see if I got an email from you.
Okay.
GF family. I don't see an email from that email address.
Really? Okay. Maybe I'm spelling hindsight wrong or something.
It's hindsight1027@gmail.com,
right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You said G as in girl?
That is correct. G as in girl.
And F as in Frank, right?
We're correct. And then
no,
family.
I didn't get anything, brother.
Okay. I'll resend it. If not,
okay.
I'll go through Jonah to see if he can send it to you. And jonahbay@gmail.com, right?
Yeah, I don't have anything. Not even in my trash, man. I'm seeing to see if I accidentally downloaded or deleted it. I don't have anything from that email address.
Okay, no problem then. I'll just resend it. I'll do it two ways. I'll do it through trying to send it through Hindsight, and I'll also go through jonahbay.com and see if he can get it over to you.
Okay. All right.
All right. All right. All right. Thanks,
Akeem.
Right.
Sorry
all
about
right,
that. All right. Peace.
Yeah, no problem, bro. Thanks.
All right. Let's go on to 936446. Rolling through these numbers. What's going on? Peace of God. Hello? Can you hear me? Oh. Let's go to 304-731.
Peace, Akeem.
What's going on?
Not much. I just had a question about earlier what you were saying. Let me get this paper real quick. I put in a freedom of information for an incident to happen, and it didn't have the complainant information so I could get the nature and causes of the incident.
You put in the freedom of information for what exactly?
Well, let's see. The watch commander told me I had to do it to find out who the complainant's name was.
Okay. All right, and yeah, they're supposed to give you everything on the case. But they
that's
what you're saying.
I did that by certified mail, and it came to me. I got the police report or the incident report, whatever it is. It alleges me to be a suspicious person. but it don't have the complainer's information at all. Because what happened was I was in a establishment getting tires, and I was talking to this lady, and I didn't know it, but there was an off-duty cop sitting there, and he was hearing the stuff that I was saying about my studies and everything. Kind of my fault because I was in a public place. But anyway, I go across the street, and when I come out of the little parts store, the whole parking lot of this place is like full of cop cars. Well, I totally ignored them. And I went back over there and started cleaning my windows and, like, waxing my dash, you know. And I go back to the establishment, and two cops approach me, or two officers, a public servant. And they asked me if I wanted to talk, if I could talk with them outside. I told them that I didn't see no reason that I needed to talk to them outside. Why couldn't we talk right here? You know, I didn't consent to going outside.
You should have said, I want to talk, period. I don't talk to cops. But go ahead.
Well, when they walked up to you, and they kind of, the bail officer, it was a female and a male, and he kind of had his hands around
his
gun.
They tried to be intimidating. I know. You said, I don't talk to cops. I have nothing to say to you. I don't know you. Go ahead.
Well, I ended up going outside with them, but I made it real clear because they tried to get me to do a sobriety and walk on a line, count my steps. Well, I messed it up because it was kind of retarded. And the lady was going to give me a blood alcohol content.
For what?
They never really
gave me was a it blood driving nothing, were you?
It's like the alcohol test.
I know. You could have refused that, but go ahead.
Well, I pretty much did. I ended up not having to take it. Yeah, I didn't have to take it because when she went to her car to get it out the back of the trunk, I looked at the mail officer, and I'm a pretty serious-looking person. And I asked him, I said, is she new here? Like that, you know? And I don't know if they made any eye contact with each other or what, hand signals or what it was, but I ended up not having to take that. Well, they wouldn't let me drive my car. She threatened that she was going to give me a DUI if I drove away. And so I resolved the situation just like they told me to. I could have somebody come get the car or come get me. So I ended up having to leave the establishment, leave my property, my automobile there. Well, I was waiting to talk to the watch commander, the owner of the business. See, I guess maybe some of his employees must have heard the way I was speaking in there. It got a hold of me. Well,
what were you talking about that brought this attention on?
Well, I don't think it was what I was talking about. I think it was who I was talking to.
Say it again.
I don't think it was what I was talking about. I mean, I'm pretty knowledgeable about what I say. I really don't speak unless I have something important to say. I think it was who I was talking to.
Okay, I got you. All right, brother. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, they're supposed to give you everything on the Freedom of Internet. What do you want to do with this information?
Well, the business owner called and told me that's how I know it was an off-duty cop that called.
Okay.
And, well, when I went up there to talk to the watch commander, I hit him with the violation of, you know, the color of law form. But I didn't have it on me that day, so I just pulled it up on the cell phone and read him this law. I think it's Title 18, Section 241, 242, what it is. And then I began getting all of their oath of office and have the affidavit prepared. But I kind of just let it go. I was just wondering for in the future, what do I do? Like, if I'm sending them certified mail asking for something that should be a public record anyway. I shouldn't even have to
default them. Default them. Send it three times. Send it three times. Default them.
Okay.
Yeah, send it three times until they, you know, their first notice, second notice, opportunity, third notice, default. And find the penalties for them not giving you that. Find what those penalties are and put that in your letter.
See, without that name, I really can't get at them without knowing the name of that person that made
right.
that initial call.
Right, right. So, yeah, I know that, but you're going to have to get the name. You know, who made that call on you and stuff like that. But you didn't get arrested or anything, any citations, what?
Actually, yeah. It's funny because they say that a suspicious person is not a charge. But from what I know about suspicious person, I do know that the Fusion Centers investigate certain, you know, claims of suspicious persons. And I actually went to their county ordinance place where the mayor is and everything and got a copy of this thing, and it says it's a crime or it's unlawful. I got it. It's in their charter and code. And
mm-hmm.
I even highlighted all the parts, including where it says that they are a corporation. That would be their article in court.
So let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with this information once you get it?
I guess I would be taking the guy to court for, you know, having them infringe my rights, filing a false police report against me. They have no right to take.
Why were you damaged? Explain that to me.
I guess they not. It wasn't that I was. It's what could have happened.
Right, but still, you're gonna have to prove some type of damage. Only thing happened was you went home and got your car. Somebody bring you, you know, just a little inconvenience, but there was really no other problems coming out of that. So, I mean, I think you're kind of wasting your time with that, you know.
Well, I was just
but
wondering.
That's up to you. If you feel like you want to pursue that, but I wouldn't waste my time with that, you know.
Well, I had 15
See,
grand.
A couple of things you did wrong. First of all, you went out there and talked to them. You didn't have to. Just say, hey, I'm keeping my Fifth Amendment rights, man. I don't just say nothing. Constitution, Constitution, Constitution. Stick with that.
Well, it was weird.
You know?
I can't prove it, but I think they tried to extort me, Akeem, man, because I had 15 grand on me. And I was talking to
them. Nothing happened, brother. Right now in this conversation, all they did was inconvenience you a little. People are dealing with a lot worse than what you're talking about. I would just be careful
right.
what I say in these public establishments. And, you know, just be ready for them next time. Just, you know.
Hopefully there ain't
so,
no next time.
Just relax.
Yeah.
Right. This is not worth the time. Right now, I don't think it's worth all of that.
All right.
So,
I was just wondering, because I did have a lot of money on me that day, and I probably was suspicious, like I said, you know what I mean, in some ways.
But you can carry, who says it's a free country? You carry as much money as you want. That what you did and what happened, nothing happened. So, you know, I'd leave it alone. But I got to move
all
it
right.
on, brother. You have a good night. Peace to God. 813-720.
You already got me, brother.
I got you. Okay. Oh my
Hello.
God.
Yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
went down to the bottom. All right, y'all. I told you I had to get off a little early. I got something to take care of. But I'll see y'all on Thursday, the Morning Fire Building Show. Jonah will be on tomorrow, Consultation Wednesday. Peace to the God. Oh, before I go, stop looking for trouble, y'all. We got enough trouble to get into already. Peace.